Blog Talk Radio.
Music started and then stopped. Hold them there. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
All right, thanks.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Low Down and Dirty. This was kind of crazy here for me and Whip here. Whip and I are alone in the studio. Probably not the best things to happen to us, but it's all good. We got it working out. Scotty is with us remote in Coopersburg via computer. The Queen Tammy is on her way after she boogered up her knee a little bit and spent a little bit of time at an urgent care center.
Not even motorcycle right
now. No, no. We ain't even doing anything, man. Just walking.
Yeah, yeah. Just walk. And before traveling. We go any farther, I got a text. They had practice Tuesday night. Monday night, excuse me.
Monday night.
At the action track.
Yes, I heard about this.
And all they got was a text that CVD and Strunk together. That was it.
Two of our Grandview hot dogs and a speedster checking it out, and they were the first crash ever recorded.
Ever recorded.
At the Jeffrey Hoag Realtor Action Track USA.
So, congratulations. Congratulations, Greg and Jeff. Congratulations.
Nice job.
Dude,
it takes two
grand.
It takes
two grand. No race. We just talk about practice. Ain't even no race.
Takes two Grandview boneheads to do that, huh?
Sorry, now, Captain. You said boneheads. I did.
Yes, we didn't go that far.
We didn't go that far,
and we're throwing you under the bus, Captain.
Yep.
That's all right. Boom, boom. That's what you hear right there.
But don't forget now. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night
is the opener at the Action Track. The Doug, what is it?
It's the Jeffrey Hoag.
Jeffrey Hoag.
Realty. Action Track USA in Kutztown, Pennsylvania.
At the Kutztown Fairgrounds.
Yes.
All in one handbasket.
Speedster, 600 wingless, who I have been told by a multitude of people, 600 wingless are getting it on that progressive
bank.
They're
going to.
270 micros and the slingshots. That is your four-division card tomorrow night at the Jeffrey Hoag Realty Action Track USA.
And
that name's a mouthful, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's almost as bad as NASCAR Wheel and All-American Modified NASCAR Series.
You did that without even
there
breathing.
You got that one down.
Hey, he got that one. He got that one. Whip, we have some interesting guests on. Before we get started and some results and stuff, we have a very unique show tonight. We're getting away from four wheels. We're going down to two.
Going down to two.
And these are some of your buddies, and I have not met these guys, and I don't know much about them, but I'm going to learn, just like everybody else is. Explain to us who we got on tonight.
Tonight we have Jason Bonsignor. He is a former NHL hockey player and speedway rider. Mm-hmm. Don't know. We're going to learn more about that. And he is the owner of Champion Speedway in Owego, New York.
Now, what is a speedway rider exactly?
Jason on Tough, and we're going to have Tough McBride on later, and Jesse Deem, also two speedway riders.
Okay.
They're going to explain to us what a speedway bike is. Pretty much what it is take a bicycle, strap a 500cc motorcycle engine on it, put a chain with a big, huge sprocket on the back, twist the throttle and a centrifugal clutch.
So don't even have a regular hand clutch on there. Just gas it and go.
And it's the most incredible thing I've witnessed, and I've been doing late 80s.
Now this,
what
I've
about
seen
brakes?
On TV.
No brakes.
They don't believe them.
No. Now, I've seen this on TV, and correct me if I'm wrong here. They have they line up side by side, usually four or five of them.
Yep.
On like what will be the start finish line on a front stretch, and there's like a rope or a wire or whatever.
It's just plastic tape.
Plastic thing, and when that thing goes up, it's hammered down, and then it's sideways and
don't lift.
Brakes, dude.
No brakes.
No.
And they run on alcohol.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn a lot about a speedway bike.
Yes, we are.
Tough McBride has been doing it for like 25, 30 years.
Okay. Is that not the coolest racing name ever?
Yeah.
Tough McBride.
Yeah, how about it? Seriously.
Cool. Yeah. And then we have Jesse Deem, who his father raced, Warren Deem, and I was a big fan of Warren's, and Jesse's a second-generation Speedway rider.
Wonderful.
And then we have Jason, who will come in on at about 8:30, and he's just going to talk to us about it's more of like an East Coast, West Coast. It's huge in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like you only have like two tracks left in New York State to do it.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a unique sport. I mean, I just think those guys deserve some. It's not flat trackers like Chris Carr and those guys on the Speedfield. It ain't them.
I've seen these bikes. They're not full blown fat Harleys.
They're like from Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
In Germany, and they're laid down. They're incredible machines.
They're super lightweight machines, yeah. and they're built for speed and to go fast, and not really built for stopping.
No, and it's quick. 8 laps, 5 lap races. So it's an incredible sport.
Absolutely awesome.
It's going to be. Jason's going to talk more about it. He knows the history a lot about. He's really in. So he's a good one to know more about history. I want to pick his brain.
Cool. We're going to find a whole bunch of stuff out. Very much looking forward to speaking to these young men. Mm-hmm. See what's going on at these speedster race. I said speedster. Speedway racers. I got the coach down on my mind.
Hey, we got some results.
We do. First and foremost, I have to send a shout out. I have to do a birthday wish to somebody.
Yeah, whose birthday could have been?
Somebody in here is coming up with a birthday. I think she's going to be 60.
60?
60, 62, 64.
She looks
somewhere
hot
in there. 64. What is your age? 64. I was just told I was number one.
No, right. It's better than 11.
Yeah, that is way better.
You know?
Now, I'm gonna.
Now you're 11.
Yeah. Yeah, now I am 11. Now, I want to send out a happy birthday wish to my wife, Carol.
Happy birthday.
Second.
Mrs. A.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
Did you get the clap for your birthday? I got raging pneumonia.
Dude, you suffered with raging pneumonia last week, dude.
Yeah, now she's concerned about getting a clap. Oh, well. Yeah. I do want to welcome you back. And I want to welcome Scotty back. We missed you guys last week. We had a very intense show last week. We had a lot of guests on and learned a lot of things. And glad to have both of you back.
I'm glad the rage and pneumonia is not totally kicking your butt no more.
And Whippy showed up at work every day.
Whippy was working every day. Absolutely.
But, hey, Friday night I was at Williams Grove Speedway.
The famous. Williams Grove Speedway.
Yankee Stadium of sprint car racing.
10-4. What was there, Whip?
410 sprint cars, World of Outlaws versus the Pennsylvania Posse.
How'd we do?
46 cars showed up.
Great turnout.
Hodnett put the biggest block you ever want to see going down the back straightaway on Donnie Schatz.
It looks great.
Yes. And then Donnie Schatz shot down off of turn 4 in between a Lapper and Hodnett and kicked everybody in the balls.
Wow.
And winning.
That's what it felt like.
That's
going
what it
out
felt
of the
like.
Gate.
What's that, Scotty?
That's what it felt like going out of the gate.
Yeah, that's what it felt like going out of the gate Friday night. You've been kicked right in the nuts.
Well, for those of you, it is my understanding that we have some new listeners on Lowdown at 30 tonight from the wonderful Sunshine State of California, and we want to welcome you to our lovely program here. If you're familiar with sprint car racing and all, the World Outlaws is like the class of the class when it comes to 410 sprint car racing. And we love to have the Outlaws come in. But more importantly, we take our 410 sprint car racing very, very seriously.
We want to beat them.
And we want to kick their asses every time they come in
That's
here. Fun. So we don't take it too keenly when they come in and beat up on us a little bit. But
that is Donnie Schatz.
Yeah.
You know? Donnie Schatz, man. We've got like 17 wins there now. We're talking Donnie Schatz.
I know.
But and then they ran Saturday was a washout.
It was most places.
So check this out. So instead, he on Friday night, he won $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
They washed out Sunday night. And he still made $2,000 because they paid it a full purse. They switched it over to instead of a preliminary, to an A main purse.
Yes.
So he got $1,000 from doing nothing.
Yeah. Those are the perks of a traveling series.
Yeah,
I mean,
being the champ.
These guys devote their lives for the business of entertainment.
Yep.
It's not just racing anymore. It is the business of entertainment.
Yep.
And they need to be compensated for it, and that's the way it goes.
And last night they were at Middletown, New York. Tony Stewart set fast time.
Good Tony.
And Craig Kinzer won.
Good for him.
Yep. And then tonight, Tony Stewart is in the house down there at the New Egypt Speedway.
New Egypt Speedway. Like to say hi to our good friend, the announcer down there.
So they're rocking right now. Time trials.
They should be, yeah, it should be going on right now. Should be getting it.
Then,
so hopefully you're having a good time down there, Nick. We're thinking about you, buddy.
Yep. And then I went Saturday. Now you ain't never going to believe this one.
Where did you go Saturday?
Everybody got rained out.
Everybody did.
Except for Mahoning Valley. Pancake Modified.
Pancake Modified.
Eric Beers picked up.
Assault.
Yep. Eric Beers picked up the win.
Congratulations, Eric.
And Earl Paulus picked up the win in the late models.
Fantastic.
And he runs a late model and a modified.
Didn't Earl Paulus, memory serves,
used to run
at the Big Diamond Speedway.
Yep. So I just want to give a shout-out to Dino and the whole Santee family.
Treated real well, did you?
Treated excellent. And I just want to say thank you very much. That was a very good Saturday night entertainment for me.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, so that was cool. And then Friday night up at the Big Diamond Speedway, finally, Frank Cozy puts it in victory lane.
Very happy. He ran very well.
Norm was probably happy finally.
I like to see that.
I like to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think Norm smiled?
I bet you he cracked a little one in the trailer.
Norm smiles. You gotta know him. He smiles a lot. Norm and I have a lot of fun, and I do want to send out a huge congratulations to Norm, Jay, Michelle, and Buddy,
mm-hmm.
of course Frank. You know, it's early in the season. These guys got one win already, and this team seems to really be gelling together very well, and I'm expecting a lot more out of them at both tracks.
Well, you're not going to outwork it. From what we hear, you're not going to outwork this team.
No. I've been told by the team and crew of the 357 that Frank's work ethic is second to none. You know, and you know, Frank isn't 25 years old anymore, and you know, he's just a worker. He loves it, man.
He's going into the Dirt Hall of Fame too, man.
Absolutely,
he deserves it. Yeah, he deserves it. He won Super Dirt Week, man.
Very, very happy for those. I was in attendance at Big Diamond Speedway on Friday night. It was my first trip there.
Good for you.
Got a nice crowd. I would have loved to have seen a couple more modifieds. We got to get some more modified support up there, guys. Come on, get out there and support these tracks. The track was great. It was a great race. The weather was nice. Hospitality was great. Always have a good time at the Big Diamond Speedway. And I thank them for having me and looking forward to getting there again. Very, very soon. As a matter of fact, I think they have a $3,000 to win race this Friday. Don't quote me on
that. Don't quote you on that.
Scotty, you could do some homework on that in your spare time.
What am I looking up?
Is Big Diamond having a $3,000 to win race this week?
Yeah. You guys got it in your notes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's why you're the captain.
These notes, Captain.
This is like homework.
This is like homework.
Dude, I didn't study for this.
You guys just got the
paperwork like 10 minutes ago.
Whip's been having a lot of concern about paperwork. You know?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about paperwork.
She's staring at me.
Let me straighten you all out. Joey's had that paperwork from, early afternoon, I would say.
I got a paper that'll straighten everybody out.
Yeah, he does. Hey, but congratulations to Kevin Beach.
Yep.
For winning the USS Aki Sportsman. Ray Woodhull Jr. was second. Billy Moyer Jr. was third. Good run for Billy.
Yep.
Good job, buddy. Wayne Whitmer, my buddy. He was leading for a while. He was hanging on. Just didn't hang on quite long enough. I don't know if the tire scorched underneath him or what happened there. And Mike Lisowski ran out the top five in the Savage 61 Roadrunners. Jeremy Becker took the checkered laurels, followed by Jim Cost, DJ Fitzpatrick, Devin Trexler, and Tim Fitzpatrick Jr.
Brilliant.
They also had the Anthracite Coal Delivery Street Stocks were there. You guys could put on a pretty good show, for real.
Roadrunner Corner was rocking, I bet.
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm.
They always are. Mike Walls was followed by Randy Zechman, Scott Thunberg. That name's been around for a while. Mark Brzezowski and Jeff Haig. That rounded out the top five for them. Also, keep in mind the Andy Faz Jr. Memorial race for the Sportsman is scheduled on June 14th. I'd like to see a lot of support for this race up there at the Big Diamond Speedway. Andy Faz had an untimely passing here last week that we talked about. Didn't know the man personally, but the things that I've seen, he was absolutely loved by everyone. So get out there and support this race. It's going to be a good deal.
Uh-huh. Hey, what do we got? Accord. Or no, ARDC Midgets. Alex Bright picks up the win.
Congratulations, Alex Bright.
Not a Buck Wilder. Alex Bright wins. PJ Garlissimo. Trevor Kobelar. Ryan Girth. That's good. Where was... Well, Stevie was running the 410, so he wasn't around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
exactly.
That's good for them.
Well, there was...
Gary Higby won... What he
Bruce Buckwater won one also.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bridgeport.
Oh.
Sorry, Scotty. We have your notes all twisted up. You know, I think it's so convenient that
you put the
number in the corner of each page to let us know what page we're on, but we have no idea how to follow that because...
Oh, yeah. And Accord, it was Jerry Higby picked up the win at the Accord Speedway. Nobody really ran Saturday night.
What's that, Scotty?
I'm such a disappointment.
No, it's not
you, buddy.
Make sure, Mrs. D got ice on that knee?
Oh, thanks for reminding me, Whip.
See?
Yeah. Yeah, we do want to send out a speedy recovery wishes to Mrs. Scott Deal. She's recovering from some recent knee surgery yesterday, and we want to get her literally up and running again. So Scotty's playing doctor right
they
now.
They pretty much kicked her out of the hospital, the way Captain was saying. She's
pretty much.
Surgery and out the door.
That's the way it works these days.
It is. That's the way insurance regulations are. Oh. They don't want you hanging around.
Oh, hey, and Matt Shepard's on a tear up there in New York State.
Yeah. Let's talk about my buddy Matt Shepard here.
That's ripping it up.
This ties in with our good friend, Mr. Bounce Heimbach.
Yep.
Bounce from the Girl on the Hill. Okay, Bounce has a mascot. It's a cartoon. It's it's life size. It's 3.5 foot tall.
3.5 tall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holding a beer. And the cartoon character's name is officially known as Baby Bubba Bounce. All right? Well, the Shepherd team kind of stole him from Bounce last year and has been taking him to Syracuse. As a matter of fact,
Canada.
Baby Bubba Bounce was on the...
He was the pit board on Super Dirt Week.
So, when Shep comes in for his pit stop, Baby Bubba Bounce is just inviting
staring
him
right
in.
At him.
So, Baby Bubba Bounce got loaded up into the trailer. And on Friday the 17th, they finished second at Brewerton. On the 18th, they won at Canandaigua. The 19th, they won at Utica Rome. And on Monday, yesterday, they won the 358-100 lap race at Merrittville, Canada. So Baby Bubba Bounce has more miles on him than the real Bounce does. He's traveling all over, drinking beer, having a good time, hanging out with the 9S crew and just getting it done.
Maybe they'll come visit him, let him come back and visit for the Sixer.
Nice that they brought him back.
It's just a visit. You know, they could bring the car, too, but at least bring little Baby Bubba Bounce back.
Bounce needs to come back. The cool thing about it is, since I designed the cartoon for Baby Bubba Bounce, I'll make another one. We'll just replace that one there. Since that one's all off in Canada and New York,
we're cloning it.
We'll clone it. We got it covered. So congratulations, Matt Shepard and Bounce. You guys are awesome. And did you know that Bounce actually had the grill on the hill still cooking on Saturday night?
Did he?
He did, because he called me today, and I said, what did you guys do Saturday? He said, we had the Girl on the Hill going on. I said, man, we were like 4 months. If I didn't know that. He goes, don't you realize by now that even when the races get canceled, the Girl on the Hill never gets canceled?
I never even thought of that.
See that?
But see, I have come from New Egypt to Girl on the Hill before.
Yeah.
And I should have just come from the Mahoney Valley place. I should have.
Exactly.
Hey, we're getting ready to get Jason.
Cool. Hey, before we get Jason Bonsignor on, I want to touch upon something that happened this past weekend at the Clinton County Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
This is something very unique. It's something that I certainly have never heard of before. Apparently, there's been a lot of dirty driving, spin outs, bumping and running.
A lot of smackdown,
some fighting in the pits, some property damage, abusiveness to race officials. Now, I'm only hearing the side of the story from Clinton County. So, to be fair, I did not hear anything from the racers. All right. But what Clinton County has decided to do is cancel the entire May 24th event, which is this Saturday. All six divisions that race at Clinton County get the week off.
Way to go, jerk offs.
I'm very much on the side of the Speedway on this.
Oh, absolutely.
My thought process on this deal is it's the Speedway sandbox, and if you can't follow the rules in the sandbox,
and they're destroying stuff.
So I'm sure, as in all cases like this, Whip, you know this, it's a couple guys that just screw stuff up for everybody, but they just took a stand and said, look, we're penalizing everybody, and I unfortunately...
Instead of one rotten apple, y'all are going to be a rotten apple.
Unfortunately, there's probably some good people there that got kind of screwed by not having a race this weekend, but they took a stand, and I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of applaud them for it. So,
that'd be a good question, because we're going to have a track owner promoter coming up, Jason. That'd be a cool thing to ask.
It is. So they do, they sent this out in somewhat of a release here, that they would like to send out their sincere apologies to the fans, sponsors, drivers, and teams that had nothing to do with any of the incidents that took place. There are a lot of great people that show nothing but respect for their fellow competitors and work hard to make races a safe family environment. Mm-hmm. So they gave props to where it needed to be done.
Yep.
So I still applaud. It's a nice job. It took a stand. Mm-hmm. And at the other token here, apparently the 600 micro teams were doing really great, because what they've done is, due to the overwhelming support and discussions with teams, Clinton County Raceway has added 4 more dates to the racing schedule for the 600 micros.
Good.
So behave, you race
more.
Yeah,
you race more.
You don't behave, get a week off.
You can keep it in the trailer.
Exactly.
Work on it a little more in the garage.
There you have it. So hats off to you guys at Clinton County. Nice job.
Yes.
I approve it.
I approve of it at 100%. What do you think, Captain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain was icing up a knee right there, I'm thinking.
He was rubbing the knee. He was putting ice on the knee.
Hey, make sure you just keep rubbing the knee, brother.
Yeah. Hey, dudes, I was actually talking to Jason.
Oh, cool. All right, cool.
So you're doing legit stuff for the show. Yeah, that's very
really
nice.
Working. You're really working.
Yeah, I'm working. So
I'd like to say I'm impressed with you, but I'm not.
Wow. I'm disappointed.
So do we have Jason ready to go?
I do, if you're ready to go.
Dude, look,
we are ready.
It clicked at 8:30, man. We're right on.
Well, when you tell me to do something, I'm doing it.
I see that. That's
all right. Well, hey, Jason.
Why?
Hold on. Let me bring him in.
Okay.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thanks, Captain.
Okay, here we go with Jason.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Jason, welcome to Lowdown and Dirty.
Right on. It's cool to be here.
That's my co-host, Joey Adams. Hey, we just start off the bat here. Who is Jason Bunn Sr.? How did you become like hockey player speedway rider?
Well, my father, Gene, was one of the original East Coast Speedway pioneers down there at WECO. Uh-huh. And Batavia and Empire Speedway in Syracuse back in the day. And just kind of, you know, went to the races with him for a lot of years and developed a real love for it. And, you know, started playing hockey when I was real young, and then that developed into a pro career. And, you know, when I started making a little bit of money playing hockey and had my own resources, I was pretty heartbroken that East Coast Speedway pretty much died out and was dead. Mm-hmm. And originally wanted to reopen the sport up here in Rochester where I live.
Uh-huh.
And looked for land for several years and opportunities, and found out that it's extremely difficult to start a racetrack of any nature these days from scratch.
Very
and,
true.
Especially dealing with town boards and neighbors and zoning issues and everything. So I then sort of thought, well, you know, the coolest thing to do would be to reopen Champion Speedway in Owego, where I grew up as a kid and had a lot of fond memories, and you know, where the sport really rocked for a lot of years and mm-hmm. had its roots, and went about doing that when I was like 21 years old.
That's
and
cool.
Here we are 16 years later and still going at it.
Awesome.
That's cool. Hey, I mean, so you grew up at Speedways. How old are you?
I'm 37.
See, I'm 46. See, I remember back those days when the front stretch and the back stretch was, dude, it was packed.
Absolutely packed on Sunday nights. It was amazing.
Yes. A Sunday night. And, dude, you had, like, your sections of, like, people from Towanda, Pennsylvania. You had for, like, Norwich. Everybody had your own little section.
Was it a good versus bad section? Or
no.
Everybody
was
there loving?
Everybody just loved one another. Drinking beer, partying. It was just good times. It just faded away, Jason. Why did it just fade away?
Well, it's probably for a number of different reasons. What originally happened was it was real successful from, like, you know, 75 until about 83 or 84. And actually, in 82, the original promoters, I think one of them went through a divorce, and the other one bought his share out and then carried on for a year or something, and then kind of got burned out and sold it to another group of guys. And they successfully promoted it for a couple more seasons until like 85 or 86. And it's a real goofy story with that property. It's kind of toxic waste dump out at the front.
Yeah.
And it's an old IBM dump site on the neighbor's property out at the front. And that family actually owned, you know, where the track was for a lot of years, even through the heyday, you know, the glory years from 75 on, that the promoters were actually leasing it from them.
Wow.
And then, unfortunately, they lost it for back taxes. And the story gets a little weird. It actually got picked up by that second group of guys I was telling you about, the five or six partners. And then they let it go on taxes again or something. And then the original promoters, Jack Crawford, talked his, I think if I have the story correct, which I'm pretty close here, he talked his brother-in-law into buying it back. And then they sat on it. And in the meantime there, it was closed for a few years because of the toxic waste problems, I think, and trying to sort out if there was actually, you know, toxic stuff actually where the speedway track physically lies. And anyway, several years went by, and in 19, it was actually closed for about 5 years. And in 1990, one of the guys that's actually back racing with us now, Chuck Badani, leased it from Jack Crawford's family there and reopened it. And he had a pretty good couple of years when he first got it going, and then kind of got a little burned out on it, and the crowd started to fade a little bit. And, you know, he was finding it hard to do it because he had a regular day job, too. And then one more guy came in for another season or two, an old fan that had a real love for it, but was probably in a little bit deeper than he, you know, originally thought, and struggled for a season or two, and then it closed. And from like 93 to 97, it was a grass, you know, a grass field again, and there was trees
right.
growing up in turns 3 and 4, and the bleachers were falling apart, and the walls were falling over. And that's when I was just getting going with my pro hockey stuff and had a little bit of money and thought, what the hell, we're going to get Speedway going again. And everybody told me I was crazy and it was dead and it would never come back, including Jack Crawford. And I said, well, I don't know, I got a hunch I can bring it back. And opening night, we had 53 riders.
Wow.
And over 1,000 people there, and it was really pretty impressive, and everybody had a great time. And like I said, we've been going at it for a lot of years since, and we've definitely had our good years and our bad years, and we got hammered with the flood a few years ago and barely made it back from that. The water was over the top of every building we had there and the bleachers and everything.
Unbelievable.
And really fought back hard financially to get back alive after that. And you know, it's a tough game nowadays. I mean, there's so many more forms of entertainment out there. It's amazing to think that it was so successful on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
But I think it just had its own special niche back then. You know, it was an extremely unique sport that nobody had seen before. And, you know, the people that they got involved at that time were just a really unique group of people. And the riders, you know, my dad and George Lazor and Hank Bassett and Norm Robinson and Rodney Payne and Rick Stone, they all were
Storm
exceptional.
Norman.
Yeah, they were all exceptional motorcycle racers in other disciplines of motorcycle racing before they got into Speedway. You know, Pete Atwater and Chip Jagger were good flat trackers, and Jimmy Pierce was a great flat tracker. And, you know, guys, you know, my dad worked up at Robinson Cycle Sales here in Rochester, and, you know, there was 20 guys working in the shop there that were all pro motorcycle racers in some form of racing or another. And there was a lot of them that could do everything. You know, my dad was a AA enduro rider, had his pro motocross license, was an expert flat tracker. And the same could be said for a lot of those guys, you know. And they just loved to race. And if you'd ever seen the movie On Any Sunday, which any diehard motorcycle person's seen it, those guys were a very special breed. They were all of that mentality and really knew how to put a show on and how to play to the crowd. And they all had nicknames. And, you know, Marty Kelly, Marty the Mouth, was just a special gift from God at that point. You know, he made these guys all into superstars, and even the guys that couldn't ride, that were terrible, he made them local heroes, you know. And
oh, yeah.
And they were all known around town, and they could make a little bit of money at it, and it was really cool for a 16- or 17-year-old kid to come down there and race in front of, you know, 2,000 people and get asked for an autograph afterwards and be able to go home with $200 or $300, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, and race in front of chicks from high school and everything, you know, that was the cool thing to do. So,
man.
So you know what I'm saying? It was kind of it was a little glamorous at that time, and it was easy to attract people into it. And as the years went on, and there, you know, different problems arose with the track and the ownerships, and it closed and went through its ups and downs, it, you know, it loses people every time that happens. And then when I first got it going again, I was able to kind of rely on some of the old school people that were, you know, old Speedway fans that just came down because they remembered how great it was and how much fun they had. And unfortunately now some of those people are, you know, in their 60s and 70s, and we still have a lot of them coming down, but some of them have moved out of town, and some of them have moved on to other things in life, and, you know, some of them have passed away, unfortunately. It's kind of like it hits its cycles, you know. Every 3 years we seem to have a real good year, and it goes through its ups and downs, but it's kind of the point now where, you know, we've got a good local crowd of people coming still, but obviously we could use more, and it's kind of time to, you know, we still have some great older riders. I mean, my dad's still racing at 65 and still doing pretty well.
Wow, that's cool.
Tuff McBride's still out there, and Warren Dean was still racing last year, and, you know, all those guys are still great riders, and will probably hang in there for a few more years and have some fun, but we do need to get some younger kids going on it too, and kind of rejuvenated a little bit, you know.
Gotcha. Now, I tell you what here, Jason, I'm going to be honest with you. I know nothing about this form of racing, so I have a couple interesting questions for you. First of all, what is the venue that you do race at?
It's Champion Speedway in Owego, New York. It's right off the side of New York State 17, and which has now like become Interstate 86. You can see it right from the highway, and it's a 8-mile dirt oval track, and for a tiny track like that, you would think the racing would be pretty boring, but it's actually pretty breathtaking to watch guys, you know, go around there handlebar to handlebar with absolutely no brakes on the bikes and stacked up totally sideways next to each other in the corners. It's
That's
pretty
awesome.
Entertaining.
Yeah, extremely. Well, now, one thing that you touched upon earlier is, as you were chatting there, that you mentioned that your father was a racer and some other guys came from a lineage of racing. When we go to Champion Speedway to see you guys race, can we expect to see a family-oriented atmosphere there?
Yeah, definitely. See, that's the thing that's changed a little bit over the years, and I kind of got off base there of answering the question of what's kind of transpired over the years and what's the competition nowadays. But, you know, it back then it was a kind of a rough crowd. I mean, there was never, you know, people that, you know, got into knife fights or anything down there.
Right.
But, I mean, it was a party crowd, definitely. I mean, everybody was there to drink and have a great time. And, you know, the announcer was a little rowdy, and it kind of created a carnival-like atmosphere. Well, you know, times have changed, too. And a lot of these tracks have gone to more of a family atmosphere, and that's the way we've kind of gone, too. And, you know, you can still come down there and let your hair down a little bit and have a great time.
Absolutely.
But there's no problem at all with having the kids there. And we have a go-kart track on the property that's just an absolute riot.
Cool.
It's a slick track, you know, concrete oval, and all the Speedway racers jump in there after the races and race against the fans. And
That's awesome. Yeah.
Track for kids of all ages and people of all ages.
That is really cool. Now, you know, you said you're a Champion Speedway here. 1/8-mile dirt oval. Like you said, it's not real big, but I've seen some of this type of racing on TV, and you nailed it there. It is definitely handlebar. What can a fan that has never seen you guys race before, if they make the trek to New York to see you guys, besides some good handlebar-to-handlebar racing, what else can they expect to see? Like, what kind of price do you get in there? Is it very family affordable for a family?
We've kept it very affordable for a lot of years. It's only $10 for an adult ticket. Special events are usually, you know, like $15 or $16. Every year we have a U.S. Open Championship at the end of the season on Labor Day weekend, which brings some of the best riders in the world. Like last year we had the 1993 world champion there, Samer Malenko, and I actually talked him out of retirement for the meeting just because it would be such an honor to have somebody like that. And I knew that he still, you know, had it in him to to really put a great show on. And he really electrified the crowd. He's coming back again this year.
Cool.
And four, you know, usually like four or five international caliber stars come. Josh Larson, who's a world team cup champion for Team USA several years ago, and a good friend of mine that I sponsor in California now, he'll be here for it, and possibly even another former world champion that's living over in the UK right now.
Uh-oh.
So we have some international caliber riders. Our own local riders are basically professionals in the sport. I mean, it's, you know, people ask me how it compares to hockey. I guess I could say that if you were going to a Reading Royals game or a Binghamton Senators game, you know, that's kind of what you could compare our level of speedway to here. We're kind of like the minor professional leagues on the East Coast. And if you went to California, that'd sort of be like the NHL.
Uh-huh.
And if you go to Europe, you know, it's amazing in Europe right now. Speedway's got a huge following. It's like the second most popular spectator sport in Poland. And actually, it is number one in Poland. We're in Poland in the professional leagues on Sunday afternoons over there. There's crowds of 15,000, 20,000 people at the races.
Unbelievable.
They got flares in the grandstand. They're nuts, man.
Stadium quality.
It's amazing. The guys, you know, one of my very good friends is Greg Hancock, who was the 2011 world champion, and he was the 1997 world champion, too, and he's still in the Grand Prix Series right now. And he races, well, I mean, he's cut back a little bit because he's getting up in age and concentrating more just on the Grand Prix, but he was racing basically six, seven nights a week for, you know, 130 or 150 nights out of the season in Poland, Denmark, Sweden, the UK. I mean, on an airplane every single day, you know.
Unbelievable. I tell you what, I mean, I don't know these guys by name, but the caliber of talent you guys are bringing is just unbelievable. I mean,
there's the odd local show where, you know, we'll have some guys that are out with injuries, or we have some guys that are broken down that are, you know, getting motors fixed. And, you know, next weekend or this coming Sunday, we'll be missing a few of our key guys that are, you know, late to get things together for this season or have other commitments. But, you know, once we get up into June and July, we should have a pretty full program where if you took our very best night versus, you know, one of the good nights out in California, you wouldn't really notice a whole lot of difference in the talent pool.
That's amazing. Now, again, since I'm a greenhorn at this here, can you explain to me and the listeners here, what does it take to get a bike ready for a speedway race? What kind of money are we talking about? What kind of parts are you using?
I'll tell you what, that's the neat thing about speedway is it's extremely affordable to get into. I mean, you can take the bikes from 1930 to 1990 hardly changed at all. That was the really cool thing about speedway for so many years is the bikes looked very similar. And in 1995, they came out with a laydown engine where the engine's actually laid down in the frame. And then they went to a better style front end, like a Leading Link style front end on these things instead of the old pogo stick ones. But aside from that technological advance, there really wasn't a whole lot of forward movement. And that it was almost prehistoric, and that's what made things so cool about speedway. Mm-hmm. So what I was getting at is that, to answer your question, you know, in the 90s when the laydowns came out, the prices started to go up a little bit. And, you know, a brand-new bike is like $6,800 right now. But you can get a $2,000 bike or a $1,500 bike still if you're, you know, if you find the right deal and actually be pretty competitive at a track like Owego or one of the tracks in the States here where it's a small, you know, a small surface.
Right.
Because horsepower is really not that important. It's actually a matter of putting the traction to the ground and keeping the wheel, you know, hooking up so that you're moving forward as much as you can.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you that. As far as getting hooked up, is this a solid mount rear tire and sprocket assembly, or do you have a rear suspension under these things that you can tweak and adjust, either soften it up and you know,
no,
get more forward?
No, it's a very solid, rigid frame. There's only a couple inches of travel on the front end. That's the only suspension you have.
Wow.
It has absolutely no brakes. It does 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. They run on methanol, and it's got a power-to-weight ratio like a Formula One race car. That's really exciting to have between your legs, if I can say that on the radio.
You can say whatever you want here, man. We're internet, man.
You dump the clutch and go, and it's like taking off in a rocket ship. It's really a cool experience. And like I said, that's the neat thing about it is you can still get into it very inexpensively. I mean, if you had, you know, $4,000, you basically could get completely kitted out and be racing every weekend. And there's, you know, there's, I mean, you're not going to get rich doing it, and it's a hobby for all of us at this point. But, you know, there's payout. You know, it's a lot better than local motocross racing. You know, there's you don't have to have a motorhome. You don't have to be traveling 10 hours every weekend. You don't have to sit there all day long waiting to race. You get plenty of track time because everybody's guaranteed, like, at least three heat races on a night. And the neat thing for the spectators, too, is that the racing happens right in front of you. You're right on top of it. It's not like being at a car track where you're looking through, you know, 12-foot fencing and concrete barriers and you're 50 feet back from the racetrack. You are literally like 5 feet away from the crash wall when you're sitting in the bleachers at a Wego.
Sweet.
And you're right on top of it. I mean, you're even getting a little bit of dirt in your beer once in a while, and that's what makes people really happy. So.
Look, was just shaking his head like,
People pull their pickup trucks right to the wall. Drop the tailgate.
Yeah, that's been the one neat thing about a Wego versus California. It's funny, I opened a track in California a few years ago, too, and know everybody pretty well out there. And, you know, it's a whole different beast out there. It's a little more professional, but you're at these million-dollar fairgrounds where you can't even, you know, crack a beer after 11 o'clock at night or have a bonfire or even think of socializing after they turn the lights off and they kick you out of there, you know. And at my place, I own the property. It's all beautiful grass parking areas. We've got 30 acres down there, and you're welcome to camp. You're welcome to hang out and have a bonfire. I mean, a bunch of us stay after the races and crash there and have fires and food and tailgate parties. You know, it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I think it's great that the fans can interact with all the riders. That's just a wonderful deal. It's becoming very much more and more popular.
I think the pits are wide open after the races. You can come down and get an autograph, talk to anybody you want. The riders are all real personable, you know, and helpful. You know, I just had a guy from New Jersey who was an enduro rider get into it, and he was up for just a few hours helping us the other day. And he said, "Man, I can't believe how nice everybody is and how helpful, you know." And I mean, we're all here to try to get new people into it. It's such a cool sport, and we're just trying to get it exposed to new people, you know.
I just don't understand it. I mean, it's such a cool sport, you know. In the 80s, I mean, it was great. We used to go. It used to be a Saturday, Sunday gig. It was a track
that
ran Saturday.
It was really going good for a while. I mean, my dad, for example, would ride Batavia, you know, Speedway at Genesee. Speedway in Batavia on Friday nights. On Saturday, he'd race at Empire Speedway in Brewerton. On Sunday morning, he'd be racing the 100-mile enduro in the Southern Tier, and Sunday night, he'd be a champion race at Speedway.
And a long weekend.
7 a.m. back in Rochester for work on Monday, you know. But it was just an example of the circuit that was there, and the guys were committed racers. And just, I mean, I'm not knocking the kids that we have involved in it now or anything, but a lot of them just don't understand that on any Sunday type of mentality, you know. And some of them are more, you know, they've been brought up on video games and and, you know, other sports that are maybe not as hard-nosed. And, you know, my dad has a really good point about it, too. He says nowadays so many kids are raised by single parents, you know, and he says, you know, what single mom's going to take their kid down to the local dirt bike shop and buy him a dirt bike, you know?
And
it's true, you know. We don't have as many hard-nosed kids, and they're doing, you know, instead of outside playing or wrestling or, you know, playing soccer or football or hockey or something, they're in on the computer or they're in playing video games or texting on their cell phones. And, you know, I'm not knocking that stuff, but it kind
of
drives me nuts.
It's a new lifestyle.
You know, the kids are missing out on a lot of activities that are fun and probably better, you know, more healthy for them. So.
And what was cool down there at Speedway, they used to let you, intermission, they used to let the kids come out on the track and run around the track.
Oh,
we still do that. Yeah.
It was great, man. It's great. I mean, that was cool. That was like my night when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Still doing that.
And thank you for doing that, Jason. You know, here's Whip at 46 years old and still remembers it. You know, that's stuff that you don't forget as a kid. You know, that is awesome.
Before I forget, too, we do have ATV classes, and we got some real good ATV riders, and they put a good show on, and there's amateur and pro levels to that. And then we've got youth classes, too, getting back to the kids. So we've got some, you know, my son and other kids that are out there on their PW50s, and they get a few heat races prior to the main show and a little main event. and then we've got you know, some junior speedway kids, and that's one of the really neat things that I'm awfully excited about. My buddy Billy Hamill out on the West Coast, he was 1996 world champion. He's still racing. In fact, he's our current national champion now in the States, but he's also dedicating a lot of time to the junior speedway program and getting kids on bikes, and it's really neat. Cool. They've got about 15, 20 bikes out there. And they keep ownership of them, and they just loan them out to the kids, and they have these training schools, and it's basically free of charge. You know, the kids pay for the track time, but they're not paying to use the bike, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, hey, here's that, you know, here, have at it. Here's the world champ to tell you how to ride it. Here's the boot and the steel shoe. So anyways, what I've got here is probably 12 or 15 of my own junior bikes that have been sitting here in pieces for a lot of years, and we've been chipping away the last couple of winters at getting them put together. And that's, you know, my plan here in the next couple of seasons. I'm building a new track in Watkins Glen, 2 miles down the road from the NASCAR track at a family fun park that I've got there, too. That's just going to be an awesome setting for Speedway. And it's got a lot of kids coming to the property already. And that's the thing, without being too long-winded about this, is getting these junior bikes together and just getting these training schools going and getting people out there, you know. And I've also got a couple of adult trainer bikes, too. And if anybody's interested in trying one, you know, I'll go down there with them, do one-on-one instruction, or, you know, Tuff McBride, who's going to be on the show in a little bit, or any of the other top Division I guys will be more than happy to go down there and do a training school and do some private lessons or do a group lesson and get these guys on these things, you know.
Dude, I need training wheels on mine.
This is phenomenal. Yeah. You can actually – I've never heard of this, that you can actually – with no experience at all, could go to your venue and get trained by a world-class professional on how to get the job done. You don't see that in any form of racing.
Yeah, you can't go to Grandview and ask someone to strap into their modified.
No, you can't. It's unbelievable. I applaud you guys. This is just unreal. Now,
hey,
typically,
Joey?
Yes,
Joey, I got a caller on the line, actually. I'd like to ask Jason a question.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to bring him in.
Okay,
right.
Thank you, Scotty.
Hey, we got James on the line. I'd like to ask Jason a question.
Hi,
hello?
James. Welcome to Low Down and Dirty.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much. Thank you for tuning in. What do you have for Jason?
I'm a loyal Speedway fan. I've seen Sean McConnell on the East Coast before. I was just wondering if he'd be making an appearance here in 2013.
Well, that's a good question. We'd love to have Sean back out. He's won the U.S. Open 4 times back here, and he's a real good friend of mine. In fact, he was my partner in that track in California. But I actually sold my interest out last year, and Sean's kind of got it with another guy who's living out of town. So Sean's kind of a one-man band there right now and got his hands pretty full. So he's not only racing still at Costa Mesa and industry and actually riding at his own track most of the time, but he's also trying to promote and run the track and caretake for it. So he's a pretty busy guy right now. And if it works out where we can get him out Labor Day weekend for the U.S. Open again when they're dark out there, I'd love to have him back. He puts on a great show. He's a Hollywood stuntman, too. He's been in the movie Terminator and, you know,
wow,
has some pretty cool roles. But, yeah, it's just a matter. It's not anything to do with not wanting to get him out here or him not wanting to come. He's just been super busy. We just couldn't get him here last year. And the year before, he was here and won the championship. And, yeah, I'll work on it for you, man.
That is
all
cool.
Right, yeah, I like the sound of that. And you also hit on the circuit. Also, I heard a little hint of something going on up in Syracuse. Anything you can release on that?
Yeah, definitely. I was really
big
excited
question
to make sure that I mentioned that before we got off, and I was just thinking about that a second ago. But, yeah, the real exciting news is Glenn Donnelly, who I'm sure you guys are all familiar with in car racing circles, is actually building a $20 million race park in Brewerton. And, ironically, it's being built right over the top of Empire Speedway, where my dad and those guys raced back in the 70s on Speedway bikes, you know. And Glenn seen Speedway in its best form at Costa Mesa in the heyday out on the West Coast and really was impressed with it. And I've been lucky enough to build up a little relationship with him, and he's committed to bringing Speedway there for us. And we're talking that it's going to be Friday night next season. The track is definitely under construction right now. I mean, the land's all been cleared. I've been out there. I've been to all the meetings. So it's definitely happening.
Cool.
And he's supposed to be working on it all year this year, and it's supposed to open, ironically, the same time next year, Memorial Day weekend, and we're supposed to be in there on Speedway, or, you know, with Speedway on Friday night, and he's even buying us an air fence, which is going to be
nice,
really cool.
Nice.
For those of you that don't know, overseas on the big tracks that I was telling you about, they actually have air fences around the tracks because there is concrete barriers and a lot of, you know, obstructions. And these air fences are like $80,000 to $100,000. And we're lucky enough that Glenn's got a way of pulling it off, and he's going to have an air fence. So it'll be really neat. It's going to have a casino, a restaurant. It's going to have its own television production studio. A half-mile dirt track stadium for car racing, 10,000 grandstand seats, and what else are they doing there? I mean, just probably a hotel eventually, you know. It's,
yeah,
and then, oh, the big thing is
venue.
The road course. Yeah,
yeah,
concert like venue. Yeah, road course like Watkins Glen. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's
awesome
great.
News.
I was hearing those rumors about, but I wasn't saying nothing because I wasn't, you know, but. Air
fence. Well, we're excited. I mean, the thing is, I've had four or five different speedway tracks in New York State that I've brought back kind of from the dead over the years. I had Action Park and Green for a lot of years, too. And unfortunately, I kind of had to make some decisions looking towards the future. And, you know, Watkins Glen was really going to be my baby and really a neat thing and great opportunity. And so I kind of had to change things around. I sold off the land at Action Park and then closed the one I was doing in Batavia to concentrate on Watkins Glen and Owego. And then Glenn came up with this opportunity, and it's like, man, you know, we're just dreaming about the old circuit kind of being brought back where the guys can race three nights a week and hopefully start making some money again and get some sponsors, you know.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Awesome, awesome news. Well, I tell you what, wait.
You're
well,
full
we have
of good news, Jason.
I'll say. This is Jason,
hey,
you have been a wonderful interview here.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm
Scotty.
Here, Scott.
Yes, Scotty.
No, I'd just like to say thanks for James for calling in.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
James.
Yeah, cool,
appreciate
man.
You calling in. Thank you so much for listening. And
hey, not a problem, you guys. I'd just like to say the other side sucks.
That's a classic champion speedway saying there. The two sides of the crowd have some fun with each other all the time and yell that back and forth. So
that's cool.
That's cool.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to take a quick break here, everybody. We got to sell a little bit of product, so hang on tight. We'll be right back here in a couple minutes, right here on Low Down and Dirty. We'll be right back.
Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117 or visit them on the web at www.diamonddisposalllc.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117.
Hey, we're back.
Okay,
Low Down
Jeff,
and Dirty.
Back.
Captain.
Yes.
All right, are we back?
You should all be back, and welcome to Low Down and Dirty.
All right. Hey, folks, we're back, Low Down and Dirty. We're talking Speedway motorcycle riding tonight, giving the two-wheel guys a little love. And joining us now on the line is Tough McBride and Jesse Deem. Up-and-comer rider Jesse Deem is, and Tuff is a veteran Speedway rider of, I'm guessing, 30 years, Tuff?
Yep, just about 30. Maybe
fantastic.
A few extra there.
Tuff, I got one question for you. Before we get into anything else, I got to know, how'd you get the name Tuff?
Well, funny story. One night with my parents when I was 3 years old, and evidently... We were at a little party, and there was an empty quarter cake sitting around, and I picked it up, started walking around with it, and they started calling me Tough right then.
An empty quarter cake at three?
At three.
Dude, I'm not messing with you. We're buds, right?
Well, and then I've been live up ever since.
Yeah. So, hey, Tough.
You earned that.
Yeah. When was the first time you strapped, put a Speedway bike between them legs? And said, I'm on.
Well, I started racing flat track and motocross when I was about 7. And then at about 12 years old, Champion Speedway opened down there, the same track we'll be riding at this weekend. Mm-hmm. And went down there just as, you know, with my parents. I went down there riding a 80cc bike and ended up jumping on a Speedway bike that year. They were a little too big at the time for me. And we waited around a couple more years, and then at 15, my parents asked me which I wanted to race, either flat track or Speedway, and I wanted to go with Speedway. You know, it's just way more exciting.
Awesome.
A lot of fun. Been enjoying it ever since, just loving it.
Good for you.
Now Jesse, how old are you, Jess?
I am 21. I'm actually going to be 22 2 days after our first race.
And when did
happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. When did you put a Speedway bike between them legs?
Oh, let's see. Mr. Bonsignor set me up, I think. Jay, what do you think? I was about 10 years old, or?
Yeah, it must have been at least like 2001 or 2002, so that's going back 12 or 13 years. So.
Yeah, I was quite a youngin'. Jason came up to me, actually, in the pits, and he said he had something to show me. He took me over to his van, and he had a junior Speedway bike, a 175 Honda. And he set me out on that, and ever since then, I mean, I've been trying to follow my dad's footsteps.
There you go.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
Good for you.
So now, Tuff, I mean, how do you feel like, well, I mean, you've seen him come and you've seen him go, and so what's the future? I mean, these up-and-coming kids, they got potential?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of kids out there with a lot of potential. Jesse being, you know, one of the best kids we got, really, for a future really good rider from this area. You know, he has the genes of his dad. His dad was a great rider in his day, and Jesse's come a long way the last few years. And, you know, minus some equipment problems and some other things, I think he'd probably be even a little further along than he is now. But the kid definitely has the ability and talent, and he's a real nice guy on top of it all.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks.
Very
thanks.
Nice words. Very
yeah.
nice words. A lot of respect amongst you guys.
Yeah.
I see that.
The kid, too, you know.
We're a big family.
That's cool.
Speedway family is a great family. And Jesse, you know, he doesn't take a lot of unnecessary chances. He's been around it long enough, whether he was racing or not, to know he can get hurt easily. So I think that's probably in his head somewhere. And he's a real safe, you know, consistent rider.
Okay, here's my question now, because you guys are at a dead stop at the gate. What is the gate is the key to the race?
It isn't. I mean, on a track that's a little bit slicker, if you know, happen to get the start, it can be really crucial, you know, and it's very hard to come from the back. But there's some tracks on the West Coast that have, you know, really good traction on them that have a little bit of banking, and there's a little bit more outside passing. And sometimes, you know, you could have an outside gate position and get left behind a little bit and make your ground up. And that's what we're trying to do this past month here down at Owego is actually put some effort into reshaping the track and bringing the walls in a little bit and making them a little bit rounder like I had in San Bernardino at our track.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's strictly with the idea of encouraging, you know, a better show so that there's a little bit more passing and it's not so much follow the leader. So I think this season we'll start to see, you know, guys riding the wall a little bit, and we're going to add some more cushion to the track little by little this year. And, you know, by the end of the season, the guys will have a little bit more experience on a grippy condition, you know.
Now, with all due respect for all three of you gentlemen here, you guys are crazy, all right? But I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine gassing her on a high side and getting it. You know what I'm saying?
With no brakes.
No brakes. Come on now.
The more you're on it, the easier it is.
That's unbelievable.
That's why good bikes are so hard to ride for a lot of people, because it's unlike, you know, human nature. You come to a turn, you usually want to slow down speed while you gas it.
That's cool. That is way cool.
Yeah.
That must be an awesome feeling. Just, you know, I can't imagine a bank track in California. You get up on the high side there and just carry that momentum and
what
just
kind
go.
Of banking are we talking? Like 8 degrees?
Not real steep, you know, like, just several degrees, just so that there's you know, a bit more of a,
it's enough there to carry.
Not so much of a drop off once you get to the middle of the track, you know.
Just enough
to carry around the outside, you know.
That is all. That's got to be a cool
feeling. We actually
feeling.
Had some pretty decent banking when I redid the track back in 2001, but after all the floods that we've had down there and years of beating up on the surface again and just, you know, the grader running around so many times, it's kind of fallen off a little bit again. So it's just time to freshen things up and retaper it and, you know, change the outside diameter a little bit and just, you know, make it a little more exciting again.
Always improving. Now, right. Now, Whippy talked about the standstill starts. Now, again, Tuff and Jesse weren't on when I was talking to Jason. You got to forgive me, guys. I'm new at this, so I don't know too much about this speedway racing here. But you got the standstill start. All right, I've already been informed it's a rigid chassis, so there's no suspension. You can't dial the suspension in the rear to hook up or unhook yourself. Man, how do you find the fine line of getting a good start, planting a rear tire, and not having a friggin' front wheel up above your head
and slamming you on your back?
Yeah.
I've had that happen a few times.
Really?
That's in the back of my mind a little bit all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a fine line. I guess that all
comes... You can either just spin it away when you dump the clutch, but if you don't have enough RPMs up, you can flip it over and land on your back. And it is a fine line. If you're coming out of the gate, you're feathering your clutch and throttle control, you know, and a little bit of body movement. And, you know, the optimum gate would be you'd be coming out with your wheel 6 inches, 7, 8 inches off the ground, just driving to the turn,
touching
the ground before you whip it sideways.
That's the perfect weight balance for you to load up that rear tire. And speaking of loading up the rear tire, now you get into a corner, and again, I can't stress this enough because we have a lot of modified and sprint car and small car listeners to this show here. They're used to tuning the suspension to get the car hooked or unhooked.
Stagger, all that kind of, you don't have any of that.
Yeah.
You know,
no, all that is the rider.
Distribution.
You're all over the bike. Some guys will be hanging off the side with their heads underneath the handlebars. Other guys have a rigid, more upright form. The bikes, you want the bikes as straight up as they can be coming out of the turn. You get your tire, your main meat of your rear tire on the ground. As you're coming out the turn, you should start to lift a little, throttle control all the way down until you touch the ground with your front wheel and throw it sideways again.
Now, I said
it's
this before.
Guys, for I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there.
No. I said this before. I'm listening to this. And again, with all due respect, you guys are seriously nuts. It's just that simple.
Well, what I was going to say is the technique's actually changed a lot over the years, and it's been kind of an interesting thing to watch for somebody like myself who's been there all 16 years. Mm-hmm. Since I've been doing it and brought a lot of these guys back from retirement that were really good riders back in the 80s and early 90s and even 70s for that matter, because going back that far, the rules were different. Number one, you could roll at the start and you could touch the tapes and you could stretch the tapes.
Oh.
And there was a lot of mind games that used to be played. It was really an art form.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, the thing had really died out in the mid 90s there when it finally closed for 4 or 5 years. There was only a handful of guys left doing it. You know, fortunately, Tuff was still around doing it, and his brother was a great rider, but mm-hmm. It had just kind of fallen apart. And so anyways, those guys, when they stopped riding, the rules were still that way. You could still touch the tapes. You could still stretch them. And they were all still on older mm-hmm. upright bikes. And the bikes didn't rev as high, and they were just a different kind of power. So the guys used to really play with the throttle back and forth at the lines and kind of come off the line with low RPMs and then kind of start gassing it more and more as you're going into the corner and
right.
feather the clutch a little bit. Well, mm-hmm. nowadays, I mean, it's totally different. I mean, you rev these things to the absolute moon at the starting gate. You know, you're 8,000, 10,000 RPMs at the start, and you just
wow.
dump the clutch and go, you know. And they accelerate incredibly. So it's funny, like, you know, I got my dad back into it after 16 years of not riding, and Tuff came back after not riding for 13 years, and I got Jesse's dad back into it after he was gone for a long time. And, you know, when they first came back, we still let the rules be a little lax, and guys were rolling, mm-hmm. and it was still kind of the old school start. Well, then, it's funny, too, the guys used to start with their right leg on the right foot peg, and they'd all kind of come out of the gate a little cocked, you know, and a little out of shape. But that was
yeah.
the way it was back then. And so it's funny just watching the older guys that I brought back over the years kind of struggle with it a little bit for the
yeah.
first year or two, where they were, you know, their foot was the right foot peg. They weren't gassing it a lot. But, I mean, with all due respect, these were fantastic speedway riders. They just had to learn the new style, you know.
It was a whole new ball game. Now, 500cc engines on these bikes, correct, guys?
Yes.
And they're two-stroke, obviously, since you're twisting them that hard?
They're four-strokes, actually.
They're four-strokes?
Yeah.
Really?
Jeez.
Wow.
This is even crazier.
Yeah. You're Fine. Twisting a four-stroke at $9,000.
At $9,000.
Isn't it unnerving to have a grenade sitting
between your legs?
They got about 80 horsepower, and you just dump that clutch, and it's like being on a mountain bike with a freaking F1 motor strapped in it, you know?
That's right.
I'm pretty sure we're even pulling more than 9,000 RPMs, aren't we, Jay?
Yeah, it's like up to 10, 11,000, I'm pretty sure, when you're really winding these things up, you know?
How far do you get? Are your tolerances that tight on these engines? I mean, are you boring them out and you have really tight tolerances, so you gotta be really careful about over-revving these things to a point, or are they built?
No, they're really made to rev, you know? I mean, that's the modern lay-down engine and the super short strokes and everything. They're really meant to rev. But, you know, it's an interesting conversation topic because it's funny. It drives me nuts. I just kind of laugh and tough. You know, understands what I'm talking about. He hears the same thing. You know, some of these younger guys are like, oh, yeah, you know, $2,000 put into my motor last week, and I got all this extra horsepower and everything. And it's like, you watch Sam Ermolenko, one of the greatest riders of all time, the world champ I was telling you about that came last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he did is take, you know, and yeah, I got a couple guys riding bikes that I own just because I'm trying to help them and make the show better and have more guys out there, you know, and they have
right.
to be good guys and they have a little success sometimes. And, oh, you know, Jason's bikes must be 800cc's or 750, you know, or, you know, and it's like, if they only knew, I mean, we are doing everything we can to kill these things off just to make them hook up on these little tracks, you know,
yeah.
and more horsepower, you know, is like a disadvantage. And what I was saying is, you know, I'm watching Sam Ermolenko. They're retarding the ignition timing. They're, you know, they're putting spacers in between spark plugs. I mean, they're doing everything they can to kill these things off just to make them hook up and go slower, actually, you know.
Yeah.
Make them go faster.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can put 1,000 horsepower to the bike, but if you can't hook any of it up, it's virtually useless.
If it's planting you on your ass, then it ain't no good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
spinning is – spinning and breaking loose is the object, but, you know, there's a point to where you're spinning too much and you're not getting forward momentum and you're getting fast, you know? So,
I seem to have a problem with that with my laydown. I actually, when I rode the upright last year, I had a lot more positive feedback with the upright Godin motor than I did with my laydown.
Interesting.
Yeah, what's kind of cool to note here so that everybody understands, Jesse's dad was, you know, one of the best guys. He won a ton of races here over the years. And him and Tuff actually went to California when it was, like, in its, you know, prime.
Right?
When, I mean, there was seven nights a week out there and crowds of 3,000-4,000 people at every track and a full-time living to be made. And, I mean, Tuff actually stayed out there for 3 years and was really successful at it. And, Jesse's dad won a lot of races on this old Godin from the 80s, and a friend of ours owns it and put Jesse on it last year, and it was pretty neat. He rode the thing really well, but it was cool having him ride his dad's old bike, you know.
Calvin Harrella really did help me out.
What was dad's, Jesse, what was dad's number? 460, 465?
468. Yep.
Yeah. See, I remember that. That's scary.
That is scary.
He ran that number, I believe, since he was like 7 years old.
No kidding. Wow.
And your dad was like, because Tuff, you and everybody was like on a Jawas, and then all of a sudden Warren showed up on a Godin. And it's
they brought those Godins in, Bruce Nelson and Tom Burge and Hank Bassett. They had a shop that was Race Tech back in the 80s, and I think it was like 85, and they were a Godin dealer, and everybody in New York got Godins all of a sudden, and that was kind of the hot motor for a few years, you know.
Now does everybody pretty much run a Jawa now, Tuff?
For the most part, there's really only two competitive bikes left, the Jawa and the GM.
Uh-huh.
And the GM is a bike made out of Italy. It's not a General Motors, but it's made out of Italy. That's the initials of the motor builder. And they're pretty much, the GM is pretty much the dominant motor in Europe, where Speedway is, you know, every day of the week. And people that are in Speedway over there are like... you know, a football player in the NFL over here, you know, as far as popularity goes. It's just huge. But over here, most of us have Jawas. They're a little less expensive to maintain and probably a little bit easier to ride. I'm going to actually be going back to a Jawa this year. I rode a GM last couple years, and which Jason provided, and they're all great bikes. But I'm looking forward to trying this and seeing if we can get this hooked up a little better. Last year, didn't do a lot of riding. I had a few injuries right from the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this year we're going to start off a little slow, but, you know, it's a long season, and looking forward to it for sure.
That's wonderful.
Now, how often does a motor have to be rebuilt on one of these Speedway bikes?
Well, that's another neat thing is that you can, I mean, as long as you start out with one that's fairly fresh, you can go 2-3 seasons on one.
Holy smokes. Really?
There was one guy, Keith Hawkins, who's a pretty good rider at the track there, who actually got like 4 seasons out of this one motor.
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he practiced on it every week. He rode it on the ice during the winter. I mean, he beat the snot out of it, and it just was a war horse, you know?
Yeah, I think I got about 3 out of my short stroke, and
yeah.
Wow. With twisting them that much, you would think, geez, you know, you'd have to get them.
It's all maintenance, though. I mean, if you keep up on the oil and stuff like that, they really stay pretty fresh.
Well,
right,
they
do run on ethanol, which is much cooler and
absolutely.
Gasoline.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I obviously don't think they would last on gas. But they're a 4-valve, you know, real simple motor. There's no transmission. The there's a sprocket coming right off the crank that sticks out the left hand side, and it goes to a clutch. And behind the clutch is another gear that goes to your rear wheel. So as you're sitting at the gate, you have the clutch in. When you dump the clutch, it all connects and off you go.
And off you go. Speaking of gears, I wanted to ask you about this, guys. Now, Sunday you're racing, you know, Champion Speedway. What's your format? Do you run a heat, a B main, an A main? How do you do that? And how much does the track change? Does the track really dry up, slick off? Do you need to take a tooth off? How much of a difference does it make to you to take a tooth off or add a tooth?
Well, traditionally in American Speedway, there's two different formats. There's one that's called scratch racing, where everybody starts on the same starting line. And there's handicap racing, which is pretty uniquely American, where the more experienced guys start further back, as far back as 60 or 70 yards
from the starting tapes, and then they make their way through traffic, and it's pretty exciting for
the
crowd.
If
you have a scratch and handicap format, everybody will get a heat race in each side of the program, and you have to get first or second in your scratch heat to transfer to the semis, and then you have to get first or second in your scratch semi to transfer to the main event.
Right.
And third and fourth place, which we've started doing this the last 10 years or so, go to a last chance, and the winner of the last chance becomes the fifth rider in the final, which some tracks do and some tracks don't. Most of us are doing that nowadays just to give one more guy a chance to be in the final.
Mm-hmm.
And then the handicap program, it's a six-rider heat usually, or if you're a little short, sometimes it'll be a four- or a five-rider heat, and traditionally it'd be six. And three riders go from, you know, the top three go from the heat race to the semi, and then the top three go to the main event out of each semifinal, and it gives you six guys in the final, and some tracks run eight, so you take four and four.
Gotcha. Interesting.
And the track does change a little bit on race night, you know, especially for us. Weather is a big factor, you know. If it's rained heavily leading up to the event and, you know, the track's really saturated, it might have a lot more grip than a normal night.
Right.
If we have more four-wheelers on a night than others, you know, the four-wheelers do burn the track in. And
makes
it's nice
sense.
Sometimes having them because if it's wet and muddy, you know, they'll help to groom it off enough so that it's, you know, pretty nice for Speedway if we've had some rain or have a little bit of mud sitting on it. And then some nights it's a little frustrating. It goes the other way where the track could be really good for Speedway and then the four-wheelers go out and it gets a little slicker than we like on the inside. But I think this year by adding a little bit of material, it's going to really help out. And to answer your final question there on the subject, you know, you may change. You may leave the same gearing on all night. You might end up
mm-hmm.
changing two teeth by the end of the night. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of an average, you know, one to two teeth. And if you're
mm-hmm.
really extreme and trying everything and you know, the
pulling
track
for stuff
dramatically, yeah, if you're trying to pull
yeah.
a rabbit out of a hat, you might go three or four teeth or something.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned four-wheelers racing with you guys. Does it ever concern you, since they are a little bit bigger, a little bit heavier, does it ever concern you that they get on a wetter track and rut it up for you? Because I would imagine that ruts are your enemy.
Yes. If the other guys don't want to answer that one, I will. I mean, it's a little bit of a concern having a rutted track for Speedway because obviously Speedway bikes have to slide totally sideways to put on an optimum show.
Mm-hmm.
But the neat thing about the four-wheelers is we don't allow dirt or knobby tires. They have to have dirt track tires.
Gotcha.
So you really don't get any ruts at all from the four-wheelers. I mean, they actually do a very nice job of grooming the track and keep it pretty smooth. Even if it is rough, they usually help it out.
Cool.
Some
yeah,
ruts,
that's,
though,
that's,
some ruts can be your worst enemy, and then other ruts, like, it'll launch you to the next turn. Like, if you set it up right, you can hit them just right, and other ones, it'll just set your bike straight up in the air.
Oh, so you can actually use these ruts to your advantage there. I like that.
Well, if you're Jesse
yeah.
Deem and you're the perfect dream body for Speedway, size and weight-wise,
oh, yeah,
it's perfect. If you're 6'4" and 230 pounds like I am and you're out there and you hit a big rut, sometimes it's not your best friend.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now tough. You've been doing this for 30 years. I mean, do you have like a favorite track? Because, like, you know, you've been out on the East Coast. You've been Action Park, you know, Batavia. Did you have a favorite track you like to race at?
I can't even remember all the tracks. And we're probably talking, 70 or 80 different tracks I've raced at in my whole life.
Unbelievable. Good for you.
Just in England a year and a half ago, I rode at six different tracks over there. All of those
wow.
tracks are absolutely amazing. Over there, it's, you know, it's done as a profession. So, you know, just the amount of detail that goes into everything over there was amazing, yet it rained every single day and we raced anyways. So the tracks were horrendous, even compared to local tracks here. I mean, it was just, you know, unbelievable that they just went out and rode it anyways because that's what they do. So
in the rain, that sounds a little dangerous.
It's not a bad track around here anymore after seeing that experience. But there's a lot of tracks out in California. One that Jason just recently owned, IMS, was one of the most famous tracks on the West Coast, California. And that was probably always my favorite track to ride when I rode
wow.
full-time out there. And about 3 years ago, I went back out there and rode in a handicap main event, which I actually won the main.
Nice.
And still love that track. The track's still going. And then, of course, there's Costa Mesa, which is probably the
mm-hmm.
it's the biggest track of this country. And there's only six or seven tracks in this whole country. The Speedway happens in California, and it happens here in New York.
Yeah,
and
wow.
That's it, countrywide.
So we're very fortunate to be on the East Coast
on the
here
good
to be able
side,
to,
yeah,
you
to have
yeah,
the Speedway.
Now, speaking of track surfaces, do you guys are you using like a loose topsoil that's just packed, or are you using like
cinder?
A red clay?
Because we're used to red clay down here.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the best surface in the States is on the West Coast. It's called decomposed granite, and, you know, DG is what you commonly hear it referred to out there. But unfortunately, we can't get DG on the East Coast. So the best thing that we've ever been able to come up with and the most comparable thing is like limestone, you know, crushed limestone or stone dust. It's like a crusher run. And I've been fortunate. They tried a bunch of different surfaces on Champion over the years. You know, it was more of just river bottom clay originally and might have had a little sand in it. And then Vic Oliver up in Syracuse at that place that Donnelly's got now where he's building a new track had a really nice surface that had a little bit of sand in it and some beautiful clay. But then they put cinders, actually black cinder dust on a Wego back in the 80s, and it was a nightmare. It was just really – it never packed or held together. It had a bunch of potholes in it, and it was really fine dust, too. So it got in everybody's eyes, and it got in the carburetors.
Yeah.
And then I've been fortunate. I've kind of – you know, Action Park, we had more clay in it than anything. But, you know, clay can be good and bad. I mean, it's – you have to have a good clay base because you have to have something that binds and holds together and keeps it real smooth for Speedway.
But riding
Speedway just strictly on clay is pretty, you know, pretty boring as far as the show goes because it develops either a blue groove and it's one line, or if it rains or has a little bit of saturation on it, it gets super sticky.
It's just, yeah.
Or super slick. You know, it goes either way.
Yeah, it gets real tight.
It's either like riding on ice if it's greasy, or it's like way too tacky for us to break loose and put a good show on. So anyways, the bottom line is I found a kind of a cool in-between. We've got this Stone Dust B, Crusher Run, Limestone Dust, whatever. They've got a million different names for it. But we've got a real nice surface of that down at Owego that's a lot like DG, and we've mixed it in with the clay. And, you know, you really got to keep a loose cushion on top, but you got to have that hard clay base underneath.
Yeah, that hard pack. Yeah, gotcha. How does that cinder type base, how bad does that affect your tire wear? Isn't that really an issue for it? I mean, you are going sideways 50% of the time.
It's definitely an issue, and the more clay-based tracks, which are more back here on the East Coast, the tires don't get tore up as much as they do with that gritty decomposed granite. Now, when I raced in California back in the late 80s, you'd use a couple tires a night.
Wow.
They went to a rule where you could only use one a night just to try to make it more affordable for on the East Coast, if you use a tire in a night, you know, you really don't even need a tire a night around here. Sometimes a used tire will work just as good because, again, like Jason said, we don't have that real thick dirt on the outside, which is always our goal when he's working on getting some more, and hopefully we will. But it
does flip it around.
Let me answer this. Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you flip your tires? Because, you know, modified and sprint car guys do here, and obviously you're wearing out the inside, the left side of the tires are going sideways and everything, so it is possible to flip these things and get another race or two out of them, correct?
Oh, yeah, you can flip them right around. You can take the wheel disc off and then the sprocket and switch sides and swap it right back on, and it's ready to roll again.
So it's so you don't even have to break the bead.
No.
That's awesome.
That's even better.
That's a godsend.
You could do it in less than 2 minutes on, you know, right on the side of the track if you had to.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Sprint car modified micro sprint guys are hating you guys.
Yeah, they're
right
hating
now.
You guys right now.
Flipping tires completely.
Now, one on this subject, guys. One really interesting thing about the track in Syracuse that's coming, you know, Glenn Donnelly's Central New York Raceway Park is. This is going to be revolutionary. First of all, Glenn's doing all LED lighting there, which there's no racetrack in the country that's ever had LED lighting.
Wow.
But on top of that, the dirt, getting back to that subject, is going to be synthetic. And he's invested a ton of money into this product. It's called Cindy, and it's I guess the horse tracks have been using it for a lot of years, but Glenn's got it developed a little bit further than that so that he thinks it's going to be perfect for racing. And I mean, I'll be honest, I'm a little apprehensive about how it's going to work for Speedway because Speedway is a real special beast. And like I just explained the fine lines of it with clay versus traction and less traction and too much traction. But
Glenn's had some samples at these meetings that he showed us, and, you know, one looks like a cupcake. I mean, it's like dark chocolate color and just looks like wax, and that's really what it is. It's all wax product. But he's like, don't worry, Jason. You know, I've seen Speedway. I know what you guys need. He says we're gonna add sand to it for you guys. You know, and I'm starting to think, okay, yeah, he's on the right track. You know, I'm thinking, man, that would be pretty cool, because the neat thing about this wax is there's no dust. That's what his whole goal is it's dust free. You don't have to water it. It's smoother than a baby's behind. I mean, it doesn't really groove up or need much maintenance. I mean, his graders are unbelievable. They're on GPS, you know, and I mean, the driver hardly even has to sit in a thing, and so then they're going to add sand to our part of the stadium, you know, where the sand's going to be mixed in. He says, if you guys need more cushion, you know, we'll add more sand. If it's too much, we'll take it off, you know, and I'm really excited to try it. It's going to be very interesting.
That's very interesting.
I was born and raised on Mr. Glenn Donnelly's dirt racing in New York State.
Everything Donnelly does, we're very fortunate to be in his area. He's just an amazing human being, and he's done a tremendous amount for all of motorsports. And
I like to call him the Dalai Lama of dirt.
There you have it. Yeah. He's got a nickname.
Now, Tuff and Jesse, I mean, what do you guys do for like a maintenance program for like, okay, you guys are getting ready, Sunday's the race. Do you, like, tear down the bike?
I'll let Jesse take this one first.
My dad's rule is always that I had to have the bike done at least a week ahead of time. I mean, we've had plenty of time in between seasons, but if the bike's not done by, like, Tuesday or Wednesday, you're not going to the races.
I like his disciplinary that's a motivator.
I mean, yeah, it's just something that's... It's better to be ready than to be rushing yourself and show up and you're missing something at the track. And
As far as the maintenance on the bikes, you know, when I raced 5 or 6 nights a week, it's obviously something that can be done in probably 3 to 4 hours if you don't have any major issues, you know, like you cracked a frame, have to weld it or go get a part, whatever. Basically, you're cleaning your bike, you're doing your chains, you do your clutch. You pull your carburetor off, air filter, all the same stuff you do with a car, but it's much simpler. There's only one cylinder, and there's no gears, no transmission. And within 3 to 4 hours, you can have it cleaned up, everything put back together, ready to go. Fortunately, I have to. I just actually show up at the racetrack and race.
So you just show up with leathers and helmet, Tuff.
Yeah, and a
few. He's on the advanced program.
The advanced program.
How do I get
on
that
program?
Senior
citizen program. He can't exert too much effort before the races, so we do that for him.
He's got to get me on that program.
You know, and here's another thing about Speedway. These guys get no practice before race.
Yeah, no practice.
There's no practice.
We talk about it as the spectators. You know, when you pull up to the line, and it's going to be really this way this weekend because the track's been torn up all spring, so nobody's even been able to take a single lap of practice. So everybody's going out cold turkey this time. But I mean, normally guys would have been practicing on our practice night during the week or something, or been out to blow the rust off. You know, but that's the neat thing is nobody touches the track prior to the meeting. You know, the guys, unfortunately, I mean, well, I say unfortunately, but we have an amateur and youth program prior to the main show. So, you know, guys are out on the track, and before you hear the national anthem and the real show is about to start, the fans have a little bit of entertainment to keep them occupied. You know, the kids are out there and everything. But Speedway, when you hear the national anthem, the four guys are out there, and they line up at the tapes. They may do a practice start down the back straightaway, but they pull up to the tapes and go. It's pretty neat.
That's
I was going to say, we get a practice start, and that's it.
Unbelievable. Two things before we get any further here. Number one, I just want to let all of our fans know that Darren Pittman passed Sammy Swindell for the World Outlaw win down at New Egypt Speedway, New Egypt, New Jersey.
Dude, who was on the show 3 weeks ago?
Darren Pittman. Yes. More mojo.
More mojo.
I also have a text question that was just presented to me a couple minutes ago for Jason. You spoke about just an average Joe like myself being able to come up there to your Speedway and have you put me on a bike and just coach me and tell me what's going on. I have a fan that wants to know how much would something like that cost
for a rental
to do that.
Yeah, how much?
Well, it's sort of a custom detailed package. You know, obviously, if you need everything, if you need a bike, if you need a steel shoe, I mean, that's another thing we haven't even talked about is we wear a very unique boot on the left side with a steel shoe on it so that you're sliding along with the steel shoe hitting the racetrack surface.
And not leaving your ankles and your toes down in turn one as you're exiting four.
Yeah. Right. And then, it kind of depends on how many hours you want to spend at the track. And, if I'm paying for the fuel and oil and then bringing the bike and, maintaining the bike and everything, it could range, just generally speaking, anywhere from $125 or something to $300, maybe for a 5 or 6 hour deal where we're bringing a bike and taking care of everything,
So, what are you doing after the race on Sunday?
Jason, since I have you on this subject here, do you have a website or a Facebook page that our fans can go to and check this out and maybe get more information, maybe give you a call and see if you want to stop
by and
check it out?
Champion Speedway is a Facebook page, and anyone's welcome to send me a personal friend request too on my personal page. My last name is BonSignore. Mm-hmm. And we also have a couple of different websites for information. EastCoastSpeedway.com is my main site, and actually we just are in the process of reposting it or getting a new host for it and everything. So just the schedule page is up right now if you go to it, but it's going to be real detailed by the middle of the summer.
Wonderful.
www.speedwaybikes.com is a general site that a friend of mine hosts that's got information about all the tracks across the country. And Champion's got a section under there, under the tracks column. And then I've got another site that's still up that's very informative. It's just not updated real regularly anymore, but it's jbrspeedway.com, and the current schedule is up on there also.
Wonderful information. Check those out, guys, if you want to see what these guys got going on and get the thrill of riding your own speedway bike and have some of the best in the world teach you what's going on. Give these guys a shout. Check them out. It's amazing. Thank you for the information, Jason.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, there's somebody, my kid brother is a Speedway Steve, and there's a rumor that you
starter this year.
Yeah, he's the starter this year. There's a rumor that you've raced that Speedway bike around your pub, the pool table inside. It's tough on a bar.
That's actually not a rumor.
That's awesome.
And I had
food
at that bar.
In the bar, you fired off the Speedway bike.
I wasn't racing around the table, but we did fire it up. We did a nice burnout, and until I started smelling the hardwood floors burning, not the rubber of the tire, but I had to let off and clear the place because it got a little smoky. But, yeah, we did have a Speedway party one night, sat around watching a bunch of Speedway films and fired the bike up, gave some girls rides around the pool table, and had a little fun that night.
Okay, here it is. I know – we are very familiar with alcohol burning race cars. You took a 500cc
in a bar,
Speedway bike in a bar, burning alcohol. I hope everybody's eyes were burning like hell because that's just funny to me. I
had a similar story when I had the track up in Batavia here a few years ago. Adam Middle, who's the current East Coast Speedway champion, he's a really, really good rider. He'll be riding Sunday night, but he came up and we unfortunately got rained out. So we decided to go to a local bar that some friends of ours owned, and have a couple drinks and have something to eat. And it was raining outside and it kind of had let up a little bit and the parking lot was soaked. And Adam had the bike in the back of his truck, and we go out there and there's a bunch of people out on the outdoor patio. And next thing I know, Adam's unloading the bike, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It's time to get her going, So he fires it up. The bar is in the middle of an asphalt parking lot, so it had asphalt all the way around the exterior of the building. And he's literally doing laps around the building, and everybody on the patio is just going crazy. And he's doing practice starts off the patio, and he's doing wheelies down the four-lane highway. Literally doing 30-mile-an-hour wheelies up and down the four-lane highway in front of the bar, and I'm just like, oh, my God,
awesome.
It was great. Good promotion.
Hey, you
got
to have fun. That's cool.
Here's something pretty cool that I like about these Speedway bike guys. These guys don't come with trailers. They come in, like, vans, and the Speedway bike's in the van.
Van.
Vans and pickup trucks.
There's no 18-wheelers, These guys just show up in a van.
I got another good story just to give you an idea how big a champion Speedway was back in the heyday. Norm Robinson, who Whippy's familiar with, was one of the, you know, he was East Coast champion back then, a real big name guy. And he was telling me a great story that, you know, the crowd was so big sometimes at a WeGo. If you've never been there, it's hard to picture, but the road is kind of a long road going into the track. And there used to be such a line of traffic. If you happen to have a problem on the way down, you know, the guys from Rochester or something, if they were running behind, you might be stuck out there for a while, you know. Well, Norm told me that, you know, one time the line was a couple miles long trying to get into the track, and he'd had some car trouble, was late getting down to the track. He pulled the bike out, rode it into the track, you know, had his gear on and everything, rode the bike, you know, passed all the cars down the side of the road and everything just to get in there and not miss his race, you know.
You got to love the dedication, man. Does it the Reaper, you got a gentleman, Ron Walker, don't he bring his in, like, the car?
In the back of,
Yeah, he does. And he's gotten a little bit an easier way of doing it now. He leaves it at one of the local guys' houses there. But Alex the Hazard Heath was the legend. He would actually stick it in the trunk of the car and drive, like, all the way to Canada, you know, to the races with the thing hanging out the back of the car. And he was a real character. He actually signed up for opening night, too, now. But, yeah, everybody's got their own ways of getting it there, but the van's definitely the hot ticket if you can do it that way.
How many riders do you expect, like, on Sunday there, Jason?
Unfortunately, I mean, we're missing a few guys that just aren't. There's a couple guys that have had motor problems and just haven't been able to get things back together in time. A couple guys are out of town. My dad's actually going to ride again this year, but just had some toe surgery and probably is not going to quite be ready for this weekend. And so, I mean, we're going to be down a few guys than normal, but we still have a pretty full Division One lineup. Like, we've got 14 signed up right now and 16 the full program. And it's just Tuesday night, so I'm sure we're going to, you know, fill it out. We'll have a couple guys in there that are kind of, you know, in between Division Two and Division One right now and just kind of a little less experience, but they'll keep up just fine and put a good show on. And by June or, you know, the second or third race, I expect we'll pretty much have everybody back and probably have 16 pushing 20, you know, real competitive Division One riders, and that's a pretty full program in Speedway.
Yeah.
And then if you factor in your Division Two and Division Three guys, you know, we'll probably have, you know, 35 guys or so, which is a pretty good turnout of Speedway guys, and we'll probably have 20 to 30 ATVs on a good night. And then you got, you know, 15, 20 kids between the couple of youth classes. You might have a back eight of 60 to, you know, 50 to 60 to 70 guys on your better nights.
So it's a lot of bikes. Are you guys sanctioned by anybody?
You know, it's funny. It's been AMA sanctioned at different points throughout its history, you know, on the East Coast and the West Coast. But we've actually kind of gotten away from the AMA thing. All the promoters have, except for one in Northern California, the last 10 years or so. It just, you know, with all due respect, just seemed like they didn't really give us a whole lot of attention. And it really was better to sort of take the sport, you know, by ourselves and try to move it up the ladder a little bit. And Monster Energy has gotten really involved in the sport the last couple of years. And they sponsor the Grand Prix Series now, and obviously they're an American company. Mm-hmm. And they just put a lot of effort into two real big events out on the West Coast here recently. They had a really cool event at City of Industry in November, or was it the same? It was December, and they had like 5,000 people there, and it made all the motocross magazines and really got some great exposure for it. Mm-hmm. And that all came about without any help from the AMA and you know, without having them involved. And obviously it'd be great if they could bring something to the table and were beneficial, but right now we've had more success kind of almost self-governing ourselves, you know? Yeah.
Right. Well, I have a question for Jesse and Tuff here. You know, we just talked about having Monster come on board. We can't thank our sponsors enough. They allow us for you guys to race and for us as fans to watch the sport that we love. Do you guys carry any kind of sponsorship on either one of your bikes? And if so, please explain
on that one, because I got a few I got to thank.
Awesome.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, let them have it. That's what it's for.
Absolutely. Pretty much, you know, all us Speedway riders, we're always very active and getting support and people behind you. And there's all different levels of support. And, you know, myself, you know, being a veteran, I was pretty much retired, and Jason called about every week for several years, and I had to come back. I finally came back. He actually provides me with some of the best equipment I've ever had. I wish I had some of this equipment
when I was doing it for a living. I also have a good friend of mine, Tony Polito, who's an amazing mechanic. He helps out all the riders, but really takes care of all my equipment, takes it home. Like I said, I show up at the track, and the bike's there with new tires, completely gone through. And we have I have several other from Skylark Diners helped me out to NJK, and Bobby Silvestri at Silco's helped me out. We've just had, you know, a ton of support because when people get down there and they really see what it's all about, they just love the sport, mm-hmm. you know, and there's no money to be made, and it's expensive. So, yeah, there's a lot of help, you know, and like I said, between Jason and Tony, myself, I have, you know, some of the best equipment I've ever had and couldn't ask for more.
Good
so
for
I'm pretty
you.
Fortunate in that particular aspect. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's pretty tough without, you know, some kind of support behind you. So anybody out there that does get into Speedway, comes down and checks it out, you come down to the pits, talk to riders, and talk to some of the new kids and get behind some of the new kids. You got a couple other ones besides just Jesse, a few that are even a little younger than him and some mm-hmm. right around his same age that, you know, definitely have some potential. And, you know, if they could get a little more help, I'm sure they'd be even that more formidable on the track.
Fantastic. Okay, Jesse, who do you have to thank?
Well, me, myself, I got three key ones I need to thank, one being my father, Warren. Mm-hmm. The second one, a big key in my career so far, has been Mr. Jason Bonsignor on the other line.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And then my uncle was fortunate enough to finally pick me up this year because my bike's been blown up. He set me up with a ride for the whole season. My Uncle Tom from McGrain Racing.
Nice.
He's a professional flat track team. My little cousin's actually Grand National champion. They're backed by KK Cycle Supplies. We're backed by Saddleman Seats. I'd like to thank them. I'd like mm-hmm. to thank Motion Pro, Maximo Racing Oils. I got Cometic Gaskets, uh-huh. Wissico, K&N. Usually it's really cool to have a lot of supporters this year because throughout the years, it's been pretty much Jason Bonsignor, my dad, and then people mm-hmm. from the races, like other riders, and Tough, actually, Tony Polito has helped me a lot, and along with Corey Brooks' dad, Kendall Brooks. I got Mother's Polishes to thank still, Ori Grips, Metro Racing. We switched to leather, so I don't wear Metro anymore, but
uh-huh.
I do occasionally race flat track now, so I still wear Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Utopia Optics, Power Seat USA, and RK Chains.
Cool. Awesome. Great job.
Yeah. Good job, Jesse. Hey, Jess, how's Dad doing? Is there any chance we're going to see Dad on a Speedway bike again?
He's actually sitting right behind me.
Is he? The teamer, man. Man, I was...
He rode last year. We got him. He was proud of himself, too. He worked out really hard and finally fit in his leathers again, and it was great to see him out there. He did a good job again.
Tough
he looked good. He looked good in his leathers.
That's cool.
Two other sponsors I'd just like to mention is
Lesner's,
who helps me out, you know, fantastically with my vehicle as far as just getting to the track, and has bought a few parts for my bike and helped us out with the whole program. And, of course, the Baby Fox, the girl that is my massage therapist as well as girlfriend.
Wow, that dude, that works out good. good.
Tough and Jay, I'm pretty sure you guys can agree. We got big sponsors being – everybody that comes out to support us every week and puts up with us every year.
Job, very, very well put.
Yeah.
What is Scotty doing?
The great Speedway family we have, and a lot of the fans that we have down there are the, you know, a few of them are the same fans that have been there for 15 to 20, 30 years.
Forever. I remember selling some of them bumper stickers when I was like 5 years old walking around promoting my dad.
I still got one of them bumper stickers, kid.
There you go. I did my job, I guess. I did good.
Hey, our buddy Scotty Deal still on the other line. Scotty actually has a couple questions for you fellas. Scotty, you still there, bud?
Uh-oh.
Hello, Scotty?
Hey, Scott.
Captain.
Captain,
are you there?
I don't know.
He must be icing the knee.
Icing the Mrs. knee. Captain's wife had knee surgery, guys.
Yeah,
so
he's
he's taking care of her. Yeah.
He needs a baby fox.
He did. Yeah. We could all use a baby fox at this point in time.
But hey, I mean, I'm telling you guys right now, we're coming up Sunday. We're coming 2.5 hours. Jesse, where do you live?
I'm actually down in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Lancaster. Oh, you're close to us.
So you're closest. We're here at Betco.
That's why I wanted to get him on the show, because he'll get some people locally that are interested, you know.
Right. So we got it. We're going up Sunday. Now, here's my thing. We're leaving at 1 o'clock. If anybody wants to go, get in contact with me on Facebook. We're going to rent a van, kick $20 in, and we're going to Speedway.
Dude, we're renting a van.
We're renting a van. You know, you can bring all the beer. You can bring alcohol on your property, correct, Jason? As long as it's not bottled.
Yeah. Just don't bring glass bottles. That's all. And make sure you bring tough some.
Yeah, and be respectful. Pick your garbage up afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, and this gentleman just brought back our Speedway track, and
he saved it.
He saved us
single-handedly with the help of a few others.
The riders and everything. And it's just
Russ Cornell, especially. We got Russ Cornell. Has put in so much like sweat into that track. I mean, it's basically probably packed together with all the work he's done.
He's my right hand guy. He's our track guy, and he's down there grading the track right now, probably in the dark. So he's
You grade the track with a van and an I-beam.
Well, we have a road grader, but yeah, part of the grooming process is actually pulling an I-beam around with the car, some chain link fence to dry it out, and. Then I've got a really cool drag that we built last year that's kind of modeled after our drags that we have out in California that, you know, really makes the surface a lot better when you have a lot of loose cushion. So that's going to be an important tool here. In fact, we need some, you know, we got to get some money together here to build a couple more things like that to kind of make it ideal. But I need one for Watkins Glen too. But we need need a couple more mechanics and a few more fabricators for sure. Uh-huh.
Hey, Jay, I forgot, for these car drivers that we got listening to us, you didn't mention we do have the go-kart track that they could get a little bump.
We actually talked about it earlier,
yeah.
But we should bring it up again before
that
you got
awesome.
On, Jess. But, yeah, the go-karts are a blast. It's they're concession carts, but it's like you're racing. We've got a special size tire on one side so they hook up more when you're in the corners, and they actually slide like Speedway bikes a little bit.
Nice.
And, you know, you bump and... shake and bake, you know, rubbin's racing. I mean, that's what we're there for.
There's some serious rubber laid
down. It's fun.
Yeah.
Now, Jesse, could you go, like, when you show up and you feel like you're not in the ballpark, could you walk over to Tuff and say, hey, Tuff, you know, watch me. Am I doing something wrong? Do you get, like, you know, information from other riders?
I enjoy actually getting information from all the guys that have been around because they know what's going to get me hurt and what's going to keep me safe. And I followed a lot of tips from Tuff McBride, my dad, Kelly Moran, when I had the pleasure of meeting him, Duke Yermolenko, I think 2 years at a national, or 2 years ago at a national, it was pouring down rain and we canceled it. And he went out and rode and then came in and he told me, he said, go out and ride it like wide open. He said, it's just another day. And I went in pouring down rain. And I think I put in a good like 12 to 15 laps before I finally laid it over.
Wow.
Yeah, the guys that have been around will definitely set you on the track, on the right track.
Most of us riders down there, you know, are all on good terms, and, you know, we're all doing it for fun now. We're not trying to make a living at it or anything like that. There's no money to really be made. So we're down there trying to have fun, and we want to be safe. And, you know, anybody that comes ask me anything whatsoever, you know, whether it's advice on how to set their bike up or, you know, riding style. If I got time to look at them, of course, I'm going to, you know, help them out. And, you know, they did the same for me as I grew up. The funny thing with me and Jesse happen to be, you know, pretty close friends for the age difference that we are as far as Speedway. So we're pretty tight. And him and his dad and I were arch rivals.
Yes, you guys were.
Probably didn't go over and talk to each other and ask each other any questions. That's for sure. But, you know, that's in the past. It's all good. And, you know, as far as Jesse goes, I enjoy riding with him, like I said earlier. And any help I could give him, I'd be more than happy to give it to him, you know.
Cool.
And you've done it since I've been around. Every time I came off the track, it's either you or Jason or my dad was telling me what I was doing.
That's cool.
It's a great point.
You guys are a nice, tight group of people here.
This is
and
a great
unfortunately,
show.
we're out of time. We have to take care of a couple things of business here. We literally have 4 minutes left on the show. So we're going to wrap with you guys. I want to thank Jason Bond Sr., Tuff McBride, coolest name in all of racing, Jesse Deem, excellent young man. You guys were all great on here. let's go over this one more time before we leave you guys. Champion Speedway, Sunday,
6 o'clock, Owego, New York.
Be there.
$10 to get in.
$10.
Don't forget, guys, too. The Sundays are just a couple of special Sundays on the holiday weekends for our special events. But the middle of the season, it switches back to Saturday nights. And the schedule is a little inconsistent. There's a few weeks here and there where we have weeks off. So just check the website. But, yeah, don't forget, it's mostly Saturdays.
Check those websites. Gentlemen,
thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys for having us. Thanks for getting us out there.
Later, halfway through the season, you should have us all back on again.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome.
Right.
You're more than welcome.
All great.
We're
going to
come up with some sort of a special, too. If we can get so many people, you know, later in the season, we'll organize something. So many people from your area that mention Lowdown and Dirty or something, we'll do some sort of a discounted ticket. We got to get these people out there and check it out.
Thank you so much, man. That rocks. Hey, I'm bringing stickers Sunday. Could you guys put them on your bike?
Yeah, I'll put one
on mine. We got
That's
what I'm talking
thank
about.
Thank you guys so much, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks again.
I'll see you Racer Sunday.
That's right.
Take care, Jason.
Oh, I need a sprocket. If you can.
All right, man. Well, send me a message on Facebook.
Right now my bike's geared for hell. I don't want that.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, later, guys.
That was awesome.
Great job. Every one of those guys. Awesome interviews. We only have a couple minutes left to go here. I do want to get something out there. Grandview Speedway Facebook page, Grandview Speedway Incorporated. Get over there to Facebook. Go over there and like them. We're a couple hundred short. We have a goal of 2,500 likes. I don't know exactly where we're at. We're like 2,250 or somewhere in there. Get to the 2,500. Like the page. Once we hit 2,500 likes, we're going to give out two free general admission regular show passes to some lucky Lowdown and Dirty. Lowdown and Dirty. Just two lucky Lowdown and Dirty winners right here in the show. So get to us. We are currently at 2,238. So give us some more. We got to get up to 2,500 so we can get these tickets away. That was our goal. That's what we want to do. We're about out of time. We've
rocked that one.
It's an awesome
show. Now you know what Speedway is, my friend.
Very informative show. Excellent guest. Unbelievable.
Road trip Sunday, baby.
Sunday.
We're renting the van.
Yeah.
And it ain't down by the river.
That's the same one I live in, down by the river. Let's hope it starts.
Oh, I'm excited for Sunday. And hey, don't forget, beautiful and happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody.
Yes. Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Get out to your local speedways. Tomorrow night, Kutztown Speedway. Friday night, Big Diamond. Saturday,
Linda's.
Saturday,
Grandview.
Lincoln.
Port Royal. Bama Point. Bridgeport. New Egypt.
Happy to go out.